Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Last Lap podcast, post Monza, post Italy, post Tifosi, post Max Verstappen, 10 in a row. Oof. Ladies and gentlemen, if you thought you were coming here for a different winner, different storylines, not on my watch, mate. Max Verstappen's done it again.
Carlos Sainz did put up a decent fight.
A valiant fight, I will say.
It's always good. Everyone wins, apart from you three, actually, because, you know, everyone wins when I don't smell great after a race because I've been sweating. Fact. Because it was that exciting. And you lot can't smell. Can tell. So it's all good.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, boys.
It's only a little bit fruity, bro. Don't worry.
Don't worry, Shez Cam.
I'm in the blast zone.
I'm gonna say. If I put my arm up, you'll be down. Boys, have we enjoyed the race?
It was decent, man.
It was a good race.
I can't hate it.
Yeah, you know? Good race. Yeah, especially because we're always complaining about it not being for the first spot of the podium.
At least it was for a little bit today. Max did check out eventually, but we genuinely had, like you said, a bit of jeopardy at the start.
There was an actual
uncertainty.
Race.
Yeah. Who knew?
That Ferrari.
Ferrari. Yeah, no, Ferrari did us a solid at the end there, the last couple of laps.
Goodness me.
Something to remember that. We'll discuss that in years to come.
Yeah.
Facts. Absolutely.
Civil War.
And look, going into this race, I said this on the stream, you know, I'm kind of in two minds because I think for Max to get this close to the record and not beat it, I'd have been gutted for him. But Science on pole to win at Monza, especially having not got the win in 2020 behind Gasly as well, would have been a vibe.
It would have been, no.
But ultimately, I think, you know, Max just demonstrated that he got ahead, pulled a gap and was clear. And you know what? Like, I'm happy with how things turned out because we got a good scrap. Sainz got on the podium at least. Yeah. At least a Ferrari got on the podium and Max got his 10 in a row. Like, how important do you think this record is going to be? Because that Vettel 9 in a row was always, it always felt like Vettel's, obviously, yeah, 4 championships back to back to back is big. But that 9 in a row, like the legacy
card.
Of that.
Yeah, it's a difference, Tommy. Big man, listen, he's the only one, right? Nobody can take that away from him until somebody beats the record. Yeah. And records are there to be broken. But listen, I feel like Max will play it down and pretend as if he doesn't care. Ultimately, he cares. Yeah. He cares.
Do you think he'll play it down now that he's got it, though? Because I can get playing it down beforehand because, you don't want to leave yourself vulnerable almost to people exploiting that. But like now that he's got it, maybe he can be it's like before you've won a championship, you're like, we're just going to take it race by race. Yeah, and then when you've won it, you're like, yes. Like,
I mean, records don't mean anything until you've actually got them, right?
He has that now. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. Now it's how long can it go?
Max won't shout about it, but it'll be quick to check the journos when they don't give him the credit.
Like,
he did it after quali, right? Somebody was talking about, oh, well, you've got this record. No, they're talking about his qualification record and said that, so you've got 8 now. And he's like, oh, so you do count my spa. Like he keeps a track, he cares, but he's not going to.
You don't care, you don't do that.
He cares, man. Last. He's not going to shout about it, but he'll be quick to check you if you don't.
And you know what? Like, good for him. He should care. Like, and yeah, it's important and it's significant in the history of the sport.
Oh, it's a huge. It's a pretty big deal. And look, there's drivers, there's teams, and I think this is just that little stepping stone towards Red Bull doing the deal towards the end of the season. I think that's going to be the big one.
Oh my god!
Every single race.
That's chaos, bro.
I mean, I think I said this on the live show. I almost need that to happen now because what was the point then?
Yeah.
What was it all for?
The thing
what was the dominance even for if they don't actually go and win every race and make it worth my time?
There's many a time in the past where a driver and their car, performance-wise, has been good enough to win every race in the championship. Like, think Michael Schumacher in his Ferrari, think Nigel Mansell in his Williams. Like, there's been these periods, but like Red Bull, like, reliability wise and just process wise, we were trying to predict, you know, how quick their pit stop would be, you know, because you know it's going to be like a mid 2 seconds at worst, and they're just on it.
It was 2.5 today, and we were like, oh, it's shocked, mate.
Slow,
that's
by their standards,
they're different levels, chaps. Excellence,
but
is the word,
but you know what this is it's excellence that's built up before they got to this stage, right? So all of the building blocks have been being put in place over the last 7-8 years while they've been in the shadow of Mercedes. Mm-hmm. And now all of that is paying off big time. And in an era, which I'm sure we're going to talk about later, but having a cost cap era where the other teams can't quite catch up as quickly, or can't do the things that they are doing, means that that's a foundation that isn't going to be eroded.
I'd see that, and I'd raise you the. I think it's a perfect Adrian Newey, generational talent in Max Verstappen, perfect driver hierarchy, and then they've got Perez, who's not going to ruffle the feathers of Max. I think it's the perfect. Plus, you've got Mercedes and others, Ferrari et al. Dropping the ball. I think it's just the perfect storm in 2023.
Just everything, isn't
just
it?
Nailing absolutely it, bruv.
Every facet of being a Grand Prix team, they're absolutely they're the best at every part.
I think they have the best canteen, I can guarantee.
I can vouch for that, because I had some of their catering at Silverstone.
Oh, really?
And it was exceptional.
Well, they did overspend on it. Yeah. So, you'd like to imagine.
Yeah, and I got my money's.
So it was definitely quality over quantity.
It was quality and quantity.
And quantity.
Because the guy just walking around with it, I was like, yes, please.
Oh, mate.
They just had more volume than everybody else.
I had to go in with the. You raised a good point though, Shez, because you know it's not just that. Let's take for example Mercedes, right? They don't just have a slower car than Red Bull. That they don't have like Red Bull again playing catch up all the time. For them to get any kind of shot at winning a race or getting like they had to nail the strategy. Yeah. They had to nail the processes. Mercedes didn't, and I think it is showing now because again. It's not just the car, it's everything around it. And as a Mercedes fan, I know you've been very critical of Mercedes this year. It looks a bit iffy for Lewis, didn't it, early doors on the hards, but it did kind of come, I guess, good at the end. I don't think 5 and 6, they could have got any higher than that, for sure. That was the peak of what Mercedes could have achieved today, but it was still questionable at times.
Somehow, I think you made the original point, Matt. Like, my heart bleeds every time I see Lewis Hamilton in that circumstance, because in my mind, preface everything I'm about to say with this. I know that F1 is a meritocracy. No team nor driver comes to any race or any championship with a God-given right to win. That's not F1. And that's the beauty of F1 in essence, right? But Lewis Hamilton is statistically the GOAT, right? He's like one of the best. He's the best driver that I've ever seen. So my heart bleeds every time I see him in this mid-pack nonsense. That's not him and that's not where he should be. And that for me is symptomatic of Mercedes having dropped the ball twice, two seasons consecutive, back to back. And in doing so, my driver, Lewis Hamilton, his career is wasting away. Okay, so he's just signed another 2-year contract, but time is a finite resource. He doesn't have many left, probably another 2 after that. I don't want to see, Shez, we've had the argument so many times at this point. I want to see the best drivers in the best cars fight every single race, Tommy. Done. I'm a simple man and I'm not seeing that.
Yeah, I think the problem for me, right, is that unless you can have that in certain circumstances, but if you want that every single time, just make it a spec series.
No. I'm not, listen, I would love, I'm a realist as well, brother, and I'm not going to get it every single time. But every single, how many races? 14, 15 thus far this season. Lewis has not been near, he hasn't had a sniff of a victory.
Sure.
So what I'm saying to you is, my heart bleeds because I see Lewis Hamilton, a generational talent. His career is wasting away in real time before our eyes, Shez. And every single race that happens, my heart's going to bleed.
Can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
Is your heart bleeding? Sorry about this.
This is great.
Absolutely fine. I love it.
Choose your fight.
Okay, but just to say, we're both on the same side of the fence here. It's just one of us is being a little bit more optimistic than the other. Maybe.
True.
But is it just that you're upset that that Lewis is in that position as an absolute, or is it that you see him in that position, you feel like there isn't enough progress being made?
I think more the former than latter, but both, Shez.
Why would he sign a 2-year deal if he didn't believe?
Oh yeah,
because he doesn't need this anymore, does he? Like ultimately, he's what more has he got to prove?
He has to trust the process slightly, right?
I'm not saying that he doesn't. Listen, that's admirable. I'm not. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, chaps. I've been bitten and wounded. It's happened to me too long now. I can't have the same faith and optimism because I'm looking at what's going on in front of me. Shez, and then I'll give me evidence. Let me just say this very quickly. Same thing with Alonso, a little bit similar. You know, Alonso went through his like dark times where he was in the McLaren and McLaren was rubbish. And then, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like he went through his dark times and I felt similar. I don't like Alonso that much. Let's be honest, chaps. I don't think as much, as far as his personality, I'm not sure there's much redeeming feature in there. I'll argue it. I was sad because I knew Fernando Alonso was a bad man behind the wheel.
Yeah.
And his talent was being wasted in these SH1T cars, chaps. How can you be an F1 fan, Chez, and realise that you have a generational talent in Alonso then and Lewis Hamilton
think
now?
How many generational talents never get the opportunity to have a top car
absolutely.
And never get to realise? Think of like someone like Jaime Alguersuari, right?
Oh,
so he got dropped from Toro Rosso before he got the shot of Red Bull.
100%,
and right. Arguably, like, if things have gone a bit different, right? Because he's the same age bracket as Perez and Bottas. Yeah, and if things have gone a little bit, if he'd taken your offer from Renault instead of probably Grosjean, like think where his career could have been. And now he's a DJ. You know what I mean? He just sacked it off and he retired at 25.
That is mental. Imagine if like that Max is mental. Was just a DJ.
Lewis was fortunate. Right. Oh, and 100%. Don't get me wrong. He was fortunate to get that shot in a McLaren when he did in his rookie season, and to have unlimited testing back then that they did. He was fortunate for those things to come together, but he took that opportunity when it was presented to him. Many drivers never get that shot. That's Formula One. The problem is with motorsport, our top form of motorsport is not, it's not a spectrum. That doesn't happen in any other sport. In football, it's not like the Champions League is different rules.
But you are still held back by your team a little bit, right? Like if you're a player in a team that isn't functioning, you're not going to win a title. And
you can still,
but football's not measured by individual achievement. It's measured by team achievement. F1, I think, is different.
And,
individual achievement is weighted higher than
100%. Yeah, the drivers
shouldn't really be. But
drivers,
I would take your point about Lewis. And take it one step further. He did have a shot, right? He had his shot. He was in a McLaren at right place, right time, got a title. We then had to wait how long? Another six seasons before he ended up getting another title.
The Mercedes wasn't even
that is based on luck, physics. You can't predict those things.
Absolutely. You're always going to have to roll some sixes, right, in anything, particularly in F1. But with all due respect, Tomo, like what we talk, Alguersuari, legend, yeah, but there's levels to this game.
No, I'm just saying,
he might be a better DJ though, still.
And what I'm saying is that, like, when you identify a chap, like, listen, I never thought I would see anybody, 2004, 2005, 2006, Michael Schumacher, real time shares. I didn't think I'd see anyone ever beat Schumacher. You're joking. The Red Baron, Reagan-Meister settings. I never thought I would see anybody come along and beat Schumacher, not least a 24, 25-year-old kid come along and... Okay, so he fell off a little bit towards the end, but listen, Alonso is levels. And when I seen him like wasting away his career in the wilderness, didn't have the wheels to fight bloody Vettel and like whoever else. I was just like, that burnt, same situation. Lewis is in that now. He's in the wilderness. And we are... It's a pity for fans around the world, right, that we're not seeing a repeat go around of 2021. Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, in both your machines, capable of winning races and championship. That's the point I'm trying. It's a shame. It's a travesty.
And I don't disagree with that. Fernando probably did that a little bit to himself, like in a position where he couldn't get himself in a car.
I'm not debating the process, Chez. I'm just saying about the outcome.
But I made that point to say that I think Lewis is in a position where, okay, it's not working out right now. But we can all see that. It's really obvious. But it's not like he's in a team that don't have the minerals. It's not a team that I know what you're going to say, but...
It's a team that had the minerals, like... 2 years ago. We've got the water, and it's been filtered. But it was filtered a while ago.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
The ingredients are there.
The raw materials are still there.
But they've been chucked out the window. It's like if you're trying to make a cake... And then you put the flour in the microwave.
But I don't think it's...
Well, you're not going to get a cake, are you?
Analogy.com, by the way.
I think the recipe's changed. That's the problem, right?
No one...
Do you know what I mean?
I thought I was meant to put the flour in the microwave.
But actually, I'm not. I'm supposed to be making an omelette, not a cake.
I think that works. I don't know. I get the Alonso comparison. I do get because that was like tragic. Just watching him rocking around in a Honda engine car, and it was tragic. But I think the thing with that was McLaren had like lost the minerals a decent amount before.
Yeah.
That so certainly like 2017, 2018 times, whatever. Mercedes were one lap away from winning a driver's championship in as recently as 2021.
True.
And I didn't want to say it like that
because
I
know the constructors.
PTSD, yeah, exactly.
Take it.
If they can just get themselves together, I think ultimately a lot of it comes down, that we've talked about it before, is complacency. And I know that's a bold thing to say without knowing the inner workings of a team, but it feels like that.
It's not a bold thing to say at all.
And they made a mistake, clearly. They picked a car path trajectory that led, and then Brazil validated this incorrect path.
Oh yeah, that was the problem. You know, they ended the season well last year, like Cota as well.
Chaos. And you look at Aston Martin switched early doors. They very quickly realised that, and then everyone was like, oh, it's the green Red Bull. Well, no, actually, they'd had that cooking for months. And then once they saw the Red Bull, that was like, oh, shit, okay, that validates our other choice would have been the right choice.
You know, Tom, I tell you what it is very quickly from my, if I'm going to put the mistakes on like a hierarchy, like a pyramid, like I've said to Shez a gazillion times, everybody makes bloody mistakes. Who doesn't make mistakes at the highest level in any sport, let alone F1, where the margins are like super fine millimeters, like bloody Lewis's rear wing, 0.2 of them. Like these championships, this game is decided on fractions, right? So story told in tenths, and I love that. That's why we love that. I will forgive Mercedes the ills of the design philosophy, even rolling it forward into the next season. You can forgive that, right? Because people make mistakes. But what I'm not going to forgive, chaps, is the laissez-faire attitude. The last time we were bloody here, the three-second pit stops, two of them. George was 3.2 and then Lewis was 3.9 or whatever.
That's consistent as well.
That's for me.
Always.
And that for me is like, that's not as complicated as design philosophy. This is an Adrian Newey like Einstein things, right? And me and Chez will argue this every single day. You could pick me up here and put me in a garage and I could drill pit stops enough. That's just like rote learning, like practice that and you can nail the pit stops. Right? This is an expertise. That for me, Tomo, laziness, bro.
Tell that to Tomo's Alpine bro, team on
Absolutely. It's easy to fix that stuff, right?
I don't think it is. I genuinely.
If it was easy to everyone,
Ferrari did it off in the off season.
Even now they're making mistakes.
Okay, but less than they were last year because they went away and they did. They put in the 10,000 hours and now they've come back and they've improved their pit stop. Mercedes had that. They've been doing this, Chez, for years, bro.
Yeah, okay.
And they could get away with it now,
when they can't get away with it, it's not acceptable.
Okay, so you're going to come at me again about the cost cap, but I think, and this is, you can quote me on, not quote me on this, you can quote James Allison on this. Everything that we've said up until now is absolutely true, right? Mercedes had performance in hand to fall back on. So all of their systems were set up to be conservative, both operationally and strategically. That's how they played it because they didn't need to do anything else.
And now they need.
Now they need to, but their systems are all set up to do what they were doing before. And what James Allison is saying, even pit stops now, because Ferrari didn't get quicker with pit stops just by doing practice. They have invested in infrastructure around that. The little traffic light system on the wheel gun, that didn't come from nothing. They've had to pay for that. And what Allison is saying is the same thing that James Vowles is saying, that Williams don't have the capital expenditure to build a wind tunnel, etc. Yes, right?
I can't get down with it.
Whereas Mercedes don't have
the... But Williams, sick pit stops. I'm not sure about this year, but I remember at least a couple of years ago, Williams and Red Bull were top in terms of pit stops.
Because they invested heavily in those. Sam Michael put a lot of time into that in 2010, 2012.
I think we're conflating.
Go on.
Time and investment. Okay, so time is money, yeah. Pit stop specifically, bruv. Drills, reps. It's like going to the gym. So if you're going to allocate, if you're going to allocate some money to that time cost, I would agree with you. But for me, pit stops aren't, we're not asking Adrian New to go out and design a genius ground effect. Very different things, brother, as far as work streams. The pit stop specifically, get the crew out there, yeah, and drill the fit. You're telling me, Shez, if they don't do 1,000 reps, they're not going
to
get quicker.
I don't know how much it costs to do that. And what if you turn around next season, your car's still as slow as it was before, but you've got a bit quicker at your pit stops. And you're like, well, we spent all our money on making our pit stops quicker.
And so, it's all relative, isn't it, as well, to other teams. If other teams are nailing it, which Red Bull clearly are.
And the benefit, in accounting, we call it the opportunity cost of cash. And yep. You're talking about the opportunity cost of time. I get that. Still, man, it's not good enough. The overarching point, Shez, still stands. It's been going on for two, without killing Mercedes. Yeah, death, I mean, no, this is yeah, Mercedes. Yeah, this isn't really a Mercedes roast. This is a Mercedes roast.
It's but, not fire. That's all we're talking about.
The overarching point, Shez, still stands. They've not been good enough now for too long. And these aren't like 200 IQ level things that they need to fix. That necessitate this long
time. Okay, so I touched on Williams, right? And I think Williams is a good example of a team who have, you know, through, I think, good processes, they've got Vowles at the wheel now. Mm-hmm. And like Albon was qualified ahead of Lewis, was close to George in qualifying, finished just behind the two Mercedes. You look at the trajectory of those two teams, where them two teams were 2 years ago, like, you have to, yeah, I think there is very rightfully, there is a lot of critique valid for Mercedes, but also a lot of credit has to go to Williams. I mean, 100%. Their trajectory has been pretty incredible, and they're still so behind on facilities, it seems.
Massively, yeah.
Which is the...
I think what's happened post cost cap is that traits that were there in teams beforehand have been exacerbated because those are the things that you can build on because you've got the infrastructure there already
and
to build on.
And now you're limited on how much you can actually spend on that thing.
Other teams that can't improve, they're stagnating, and other teams that have got stuff in place.
But it feels like Williams are probably, given what Vowles has said, they're probably quite close to their ceiling.
Yes.
Mercedes, their ceiling. It has to be the top. But I think for Williams,
yeah, and it should be.
Of course it is. Yeah. I mean,
so that's the.
They've not got an excuse. Mercedes don't have the facilities excuse that Williams have. You know, Williams to be correct. Fighting for like, you know, sixth quickest car at times.
Depending
on the track.
So that is exactly what James
Easily
Allison
clear of Alpine. Yeah. This weekend.
So that is exactly what James Allison was talking about. He was saying that it's not just about the wind tunnel and the CFD program. It's about the fact that changing the infrastructure, that the systems that inform your strategy and your operations also cost capital. And right. That's what they don't have the capital to invest in those, and that's why they just stay the same, and now they're not fit for purpose.
And so yeah. Just to loop the circle back on Mercedes, since that's the all that Cameron F1 talks about. you know when they do the graph, the qualification graph, and they show you potential fastest lap every time that somebody's made a mistake on a set, they combine all the fastest sectors, right? That's the issue with Mercedes, because when you combine their potential best sectors across operations, across strategy, across bloody pit stop times, they should be competing every single bloody race with Red Bull, and it's not happening now, and it hasn't been happening for ages, and that's why so many Mercedes fans all across the world are losing their SH1T. That's what's going on.
And again, look, all of these teams should be up there. There's not really, I think if a team like Williams, who historically have been struggling to like get by, if they, you know, as recently as a couple of seasons ago, would be right up there in terms of pit stops, then there's no excuse for any teams.
But this is
what I mean about like the facility issue for a team like Williams, who are trying to recover. But then it comes to the question of like, is, you know, for Alex, for example, can he see a future? Because look, you know, Aramco do their power rankings, right?
And I already
pulled these up, right?
The last six races, right?
So this is the power rankings that come from
journals
together, right? So take for that what you right. Canadian Grand Prix, Alex was first, of course. Austrian, he was third. British, he was third. Hungarian, he was joint fourth, yeah. Belgian, he was joint eighth. It's a bad weekend for him.
I mean,
and then fourth in the Dutch. And then this weekend, he's going to be up there again.
Yeah, probably top three.
He's driving, but like, a lot of people have talked about Albon to Mercedes. I've seen a lot of that being like for when Lewis leaves. But Lewis is extended for two seasons.
Yeah, he's extended for two seasons, and I think that sort of slightly curtails a little. Well, it depends on how their juniors perform, actually, because obviously the news this week, Kimi Antonelli is going to be in F2.
Yeah, Mercedes hot shot.
F2, which teams love to do when they know that they're going to slap that boy in a car soon. So, two-year extension on Lewis might curtail slightly a chance of someone who's already existing on the grid getting that seat, if they are priming it, if they are giving out those contracts to George and Lewis. But it might come still too early.
That's what's so interesting, I think, about the cost cap here, is that you don't know what is going to happen in the next couple of seasons. In that, you know, the massive jump that Aston Martin have made from one season to the next, and the massive jump that McLaren have made within a season.
That's what I will say. I think obviously McLaren were a little bit off it again today, but it's Monza and they're not quick in a straight line. I don't think we've seen jumps like this through orders, like just the pack generally, in ages. Since like during that 2009 season that was meant for everyone, like the wrong way around.
And then it corrected itself by the end.
Since then, this is crazy. Aston Martin going from like seventh, boom, they were second at one point at the start. McLaren out of nowhere, out of the mid-table, into the top. You've kind of got like others dropping through. It's crazy.
But I think as time goes on, that's less likely to happen, because the start of a new set of regulations, there's always
more time to find.
But there is still more scope for those teams further back down the grid. And this is where that whole capital expenditure side of things comes into it. If Williams had the infrastructure to be able to do the things that they want to be able to do. I mean, Vowles is talking about an email system that they don't have, just a tracking system.
Just no email. They ain't got any emails.
They don't have to each other. Smoke signals.
Wow.
But you know, if they had the infrastructure and they were allowed to spend on those things, then for my money, that means more teams in the mix to be able to bring their ideas and show what they can actually do. And then you know, Alex is in the pound seats. He's in a team that can do what he needs.
Also,
to do.
At what point is it actually that, because Alex is driving really well. But at what point is it that actually the car's not as bad as we think it is, and maybe it's just Alex. Logan is just doing quite a bad job relative
to... It's always tough, isn't it, when there's such a gap between drivers.
And Alex had Latifi as a teammate last year.
Logan's better than Latifi.
The last time Alex has had a teammate he's been close to was Kvyat in his first 6 months at Red Bull.
That's not a fair test either, because they were both so young. I just want to say, those power rankings, Tomo, are symptomatic of something that's going on at Williams, right? All over the shop for Alex, and then in the background, they're optimizing. They're borderline, and without condescending them, they're borderline overachieving their portion. And that's like, you've got to commend them for that. That's what we want to see.
If you look at their facilities compared to like South, how the fuck are they
out here? They're Leicester winning the Premier League. That's what they're going on with at the moment, and I don't hate that. That's worthy of their to be commended for that.
It's that time again to test our knowledge on all things F1, thanks to Santander and the Lap Zero quiz. It's live and we're going to answer some questions from the game right now.
As you know, with the Lap Zero quiz, there are hundreds of prizes available, and you play each race week, either as an individual or in your own team.
To support the launch of Santander Lap Zero, we're going to be dueling over 5 races. This is round 2, Monza.
These questions are all about STEM. Science, technology, engineering, and my favourite, maths.
Maths.
You stop playing yourself down, man.
No, I ain't done that.
Try and make me look bad when I lose.
Natural maths in like 10 years.
Come on then, Shez.
Here we go. Yes. Okay, first question. The closest ever win in F1 was in 1974 by Peter Gethin. How much did he win by? Is it 2.1 seconds, 1.1 seconds, 0.1 seconds.
So this is the closest in history ever.
Okay.
Correct.
Ever, ever, ever.
Ever, ever, ever. Oh. D, was that even an option?
He's written D.
0.01.
You're right.
I make my own rules around here, ladies and gentlemen.
I've picked option three, okay?
Oh, is it actually too late?
Option three.
I wrote D then, fuck the feds. I'll stay there. Yeah, go on then.
Okay, so we've gone for...
Was it number-based? Was it even letter-based? Oh my God.
And he only gave you three options.
I was just, as the joke, I was going to do the fourth option, but I did the letter-based system as well.
It's lucky the STEM doesn't include English.
Is that not what the E stands for?
Fuck.
So I've gone for three.
I've gone for option D, which I would like to clarify stands for 0.01.
0.01 seconds?
Yeah.
I'm not sure they even had time in it. Went back that far.
No, they definitely didn't.
So the answer is, drum roll. 0.1 seconds.
Man, I thought I had that. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I enjoyed the shout out to option D.
It's
a bonus option.
Always never let me
down. I was not expecting that. It really got
man.
There.
Honestly, I'm devastated, actually. That's D for devastated.
1-0. So it's just been revealed to us that actually Niren was right. The answer is D.
Oh my Lord.
I can't believe that.
Or should I say four? Because you still fucking wrote the wrong thing.
I still wrote the wrong thing.
A letter instead of a number. It was 0.01.
It's 0.01. We just had it written down wrong. That's crazy.
Niren, were you there? Like, how did you know there was an extra answer?
You know what? That is the maddest, that's the worst quality goal of all time.
An extra answer.
That's like, you know, it's like if I was playing basketball and the ball's like hit my head and like,
I've gone in.
Wow.
Three-pointer. That is the biggest stumble into anything ever.
This is the biggest F1 fix since. Next question.
80. So do I have 1 point now?
You have a point, mate.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
I think I have a point.
I find a way to lose this.
As an option, I wasn't even there and I'm bleeding.
Chaos.
Come on, Cam. Let's move this on.
I feel bad for you, Tommy. You got prejudiced against for an answer that you didn't even know was an option. But minor, we move.
Come on.
Question number two. Monza, known as the Temple of Speed, has the highest average lap speed of any track on the calendar, 264 kilometers per hour, followed by Silverstone. But which track is third for highest speed? Is it? I don't even know where to do letters. A. Suzuka. B. Spa. Or C. Jeddah.
Ooh.
There is no D option for the avoidance of doubt.
Producer, can we guarantee there's no D option?
There's no D.
Oh, wow.
Oh, surely.
Am I trying to get a read? Niren is proper. Niren copy all the answers in the exams.
3, 2, 1, reveal. I've gone C.
Oh, my God.
So you got Spa, I've gone Jeddah.
So the answer is Spa.
Hey!
How chaos
are you
is that?
Fucking kidding?
Chaos, bro.
Spa's quicker average than
Chaos Baller wins.
Oh, I would have said Jeddah too, fair.
Wow, I wouldn't have known which way to go.
The straight I actually thought it was Jeddah for a sec because it's quick all the way around and there's no just like slow torch left.
Yeah, but you have to slow down at the end so you don't crash into
it. Set to one, set to three of
fuck's sake. Should we do with a goal final question?
I don't need your sympathy
now. I haven't answered any of them properly and I'm winning 2-0.
This is a fun one.
This is the chaos criminal. We're all here for. I hope that's you're enjoying my criminal. Pain, everyone.
Okay, I'm really looking forward to this question.
Cover sheds.
Okay, you know how you guys said you didn't like maths?
Oh, God.
Here we go. Right, if I take Valtteri Bottas's race number and subtract it by George Russell's, which driver would I be left with?
I know this already.
Is it?
I don't even need your options.
I'm going to give them to you anyway because you don't know which one's which, right?
Because then I get triple points because I've already written it down.
He gets triple points.
Is it A, Sergio Perez? Is it B, Pierre Gasly? Or is it C, Fernando Alonso? A, B or C?
I have it.
Right, so Fernando Alonso's 14 in number rather than age.
Private consult with...
No. This is for the public, get me. This is for the audience. So Fernando Alonso's 14 in terms of number, not like his age. That'd be crazy. Gasly's 10.
and then Checo's 11.
You sure?
I don't know, mate. Oh, probably, yeah.
They all have numbers.
Are you sure, Niren?
They all do have... Oh, shit, man. So do I write a letter? Oh, I forgot the question. 77. Valtteri Bottas, 77.
Minus George Russell.
Yeah, I've got this, mate. I don't know the... Can I just write his name down?
Sure.
Yes, get in there. I forgot what... All
no worries, no worries.
Does he still get triple points?
He has to get it right first, right?
That would be a gangster, mate. If you've nailed this, bro, I will respect it highly. Lots of ratings. If you've got it wrong, though, mate,
that's criminal.
I'm putting all on the line.
He's written like Ocon.
Fucking Albon.
Shit. It's always Albon. Every answer.
Right. Okay, so I've written.
At the same time.
Fernando.
And the answer is. It's Fernando Alonso. Right.
Yes. Come on. I managed to answer every question in a different format. Letter number, and I just gave up and just wrote the answer.
You started writing A, and I thought, wait a second, you don't really mean that, right?
I rate that. Driver of the day for Tomo for that, for writing
that's
it down.
That is a gangster move. That's
worthy of a bit of gas.
It wasn't as gangster as you getting the answer that wasn't. You added a new option to this quiz.
I'll be honest, that might be the worst win of all time of anything. Like winning off an answer that you didn't even know was there.
You know what? We witnessed Max win 10 in a row today. And but you think that's a big deal?
Has he ever done that? Has he ever won a race that he wasn't in? That's my question. That's
good question.
Get me.
Probably. When he turned up to a car and tried to drive
Spa. But could we just focus on the fact that this raises the insight that Tomo spends all of his time just looking at race numbers and subtracting them from each other?
Yeah. You knew that before. He'd even finished... You hadn't even finished the...
No, I hadn't even told you what the second said. Number was.
Russell, yeah.
Well, no, I know Bottas is 77.
Yeah.
And George Russell is 63 because GR and his logo, it looks like 63.
GR 63, that's fair. I just had to
and then math. You said you're bad at maths, but I'm not bad at maths. I'm right.
Yeah, I am actually. Bad at maths.
So I've got an A lost in GCSE maths, so actually, you know, I'll take that.
I did A level and I stunk, so...
Did they level maths?
Right now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. But I still can't believe I won that, but I'll take it. Thank you very much to the Academy. Thanks to my agent. Thanks to my parents for me being born.
Thanks again to Santander and F1. Don't forget to check out the Lap Zero quiz yourself to be in a chance to join myself and Niren in Maranello later this year for a lovely VIP experience. All the details are in the description below. Check it out. And good luck.
That's talking of commendation.
Commendation.
We touched on this briefly in the live stream, but I guess we kind of have to... I mean, Lewis kind of set us up to talk about it. These comments about Max not having as strong a teammates as he. My main question is why? What do we think? Because whenever these drivers speak, right, and especially a driver like Lewis Hamilton, you know, he's one of the biggest names in the sport and arguably the biggest kind of name, not just within the sport, but outside the sport as well.
Yeah,
when he talks, people listen. And the point, what's the point, I guess? What's he trying to achieve?
He is,
because I feel like there's always a plan behind these.
Yeah.
Whether it's Lewis or Christian Horner or Toto or Max or whoever, there's always a point, surely.
The plan, I'm not sure. What he said was like, Max has not dealt with the caliber of teammates that I have. I mean, there are two ways to read the comment. There's either Max's teammates, none of them have been better than any of mine. I think what he was trying to imply is that Max has never had a difficult teammate. I think that's kind of where the quote ends for me. I know you two probably disagree.
Yeah.
But I think for me, he's basically saying, I've had Alonso, Jensen, as teammates. Max has had Checo, Ricardo, Gasly. None of them compared to the best that I faced in my teammate.
I think what Lewis is trying to say, but didn't say, is that... The body of work. Like, if you look at my teammates, I've come up against and beaten better teammates than what Max has. Like, if you just look at the entirety of the story, right? What he said, though, was that every single one of my teammates, not verbatim, the sentiment was that every single one of my teammates have been better than anything.
There's
no way that Kovalainen has been
Ricciardo. He was good, man. Not in that McLaren.
On his day.
Heike was all right, but more pertinently, like, if you're comparing probably the best that Max has gone up against, maybe Danny Rick, I'd say Perez, potentially. But Perez in 21. Well, yeah, I suppose that's a good shout, but like, I suppose it's a like for like. Perez in 21 versus Bottas in 21. Give me Perez.
I'm sorry, Bottas was ass in 21.
Absolute
shambles.
I sound like he was willfully like that though. Like,
yeah. Like, yeah. Could it be like a given.
It was like a given.
He was an absolute shambles.
Spain did.
Mexico
was
just no help.
What?
He actively hindered him.
He was a saboteur even. And so I don't know. Lewis says, I wish Lewis had phrased it ever slightly differently. But to your point, Tom, about the intention behind it, I think, and I can't blame him for this, I think Lewis is just like, yeah, all this good stuff is going on. Hello, over here, I'm Lewis Hamilton, and I won seven, and I'm still here. I genuinely think that's the
Fernando about that. This is what Fernando does in his off seasons, right? He'll drive the car to 12th and say that was the greatest drive I've ever done, in the worst car I've ever driven.
Seeking, isn't it?
I think more just, as you say, making everyone remember, one, that he's there, and two, that the ability is still there.
And I don't hate
human beings, they want credit.
I don't hate
well, they, want, yeah. they want credit yeah, yeah, yeah. for I what they feel like that. They do a good job. And ultimately, if you're sat there as Lewis Hamilton, seven-time world champion, and you're hearing all this credit of Max Verstappen, you know, being like this amazing who destroys teammates and all that, of course you're going to be like, well, hang on, I did all this as well.
And it's so difficult in a sport where so much of it depends on what you are driving. So it's so easy for the casual fan to look at this and go, well, what happened? Lewis has just lost it between one season
again,
and the next.
Like in football, right, you can get a ball and you can dribble, you can take people on, you can demonstrate ability in isolation to yourself. You can fail as part of a team, but you can demonstrate impeccable ability you can't do that.
You can't do it in a car.
Yeah, no, you can't. You are inherently limited by the car that you're in.
You are, but you can still impress in the car that you're in.
But then people will be like, well, yeah, but maybe that's
but
maybe
everything is car, everything right? is an inference.
But we've just
and then how good's the teammate? Like,
yeah, I guess we've just had a conversation about Albon and Sargent.
Whereas in football, you can see clear as that. You can be in a terrible team, but you can have this amazing player who Messi at fucking Inter Miami.
Yeah, he's evident, dragging everyone with him.
But that's the thing, isn't it, about F1? Skill is implicit often because not everyone has the same car. Whereas, as you say in football, it's very explicit. You can see what someone's
everyone
doing.
Everyone has
their
the
feet.
Same ball,
and you can see what they're doing.
Like, no, but Lewis's thing is different, right? Because people. I empathize with Lewis, you know, saying that, because I understand what I reckon a lot, what's happened, Drive to Survive, a lot have come in, and a lot of people can't remember 2040 Lewis Hamilton Abu Dhabi, because they weren't there for it. They weren't there for it. So he's just trying to spotlight and just be like, well, hold on. Do you like remember when I was quite good? I was a bit handy not too long ago. You lot are talking all this stuff about Max.
We all have short memories, like it's just
recency
case.
Bias, right? Yeah. A lot of talking all this stuff about Max was the greatest and whatever, and he's very good, but I was all right as well. Says Lewis.
Yeah. The question about that though is it necessary? Right? And the reason I say that
absolutely not, bro. But
he's
got an ego. Yeah. But give Lewis a bit of grace, bro. We said it on the stream already. Give him just a bit of grace because he's had a shit show of a time.
And I'll come back to my original point because I say, like, you know, for Lewis to say this, he must have a point. But also to argue with myself, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's just being a human. Maybe he's just like
for once,
expressing himself, poking a bear, because he is a human being, just like Charles Leclerc. When a little bit AWOL.
Can I just say, shout out
because I think you need to talk about that.
Shout out to the watch time warriors, by the way.
If you got to the end of the stream,
because realistically, Ferrari Civil War is definitely in the title of this podcast, and we have waited till low key towards the end to talk about it. Yeah, Charles Leclerc went rogue, ladies and gentlemen.
Unbelievable.
What do we think, boys? Ended in disaster.
What do we think, unbelievable. Boys. Flashes of Baku and bloody
it looked
Danny Rick and Max Verstappen, right? Very similar. He's lucky. I don't hate it, lads. We're here to
and
see racing.
No risk.
No, can you imagine? And no Charles Leclerc just conveniently did
a pair. All risk?
Yeah, that's
Sorry.
Makes my car a missile. I mean, in a season like this, when they're not going to win titles, then they're probably not going to win they might win a race. I doubt it, though. This is what they've got to fight for. This is it. And if you're not getting on the podium when you've got a chance to
especially
do it.
Especially as like, only one of them was going to get on that podium as well.
Who are you?
I think that played into it.
I just say, if there's one team that you can probably easily override what they say to you, it's easily Ferrari, isn't it?
It's good, isn't it? Yeah.
They just turn around and say, you didn't really say that, did you? No, you didn't say that.
Like, like, who, they're not going to go Charles Leclerc. All right, listen, we just you know what I'm saying? Like, he can quite easily just do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, but so we were talking earlier, right? And you said, you know, the disappointment you feel as a Hamilton fan for him to not be fighting at the front. You look at Charles Leclerc and the promise he was showing in 2019 when they had that legal engine. And, you know, like most poles that year, right? Exceptional races. Obviously got, what, that, he was going to get that win in Bahrain, was
it?
And then the car broke down.
And
then he finished on the podium behind Lewis and Lewis.
Oh, yeah, he didn't break down. Like, he just,
the potential that Leclerc showed, and then all of a sudden that 2020 car was absolute asinine. Like, it was terrible. And it's just now he's having to deal with this shit. Like, Charles Leclerc, man, I do... Like, when it comes to potential, and if Charles was never able to get that, like, title-winning car, that would be such... Because how can he leave Ferrari? Because that's the team that means so much to him.
Yeah.
Like, winning a title at Ferrari is going to be more valuable, surely, than going somewhere else with the chance of winning a title.
Well,
but not even a guarantee.
Mercedes.
But even then, it's still a shot. It's not a guarantee,
is it?
No, no, of course it's not. But I think Charles still at this stage, I don't think it's the tragedy. It's not the same extent of unfulfilled potential if we're comparing and contrasting to Lewis at the moment, because I think Charles still has...
That's a long left in his career.
Yeah, but at least...
And he still has a cheeky mistake in his locker.
And lost than never to have loved at all.
Love that. That's true.
And Lewis has won 7 world titles.
True.
Charles is clearly... In the right environment, in the right... Can fight for a title, of course. And we saw that in 2019.
Yeah,
But can he... Tomo. When Max Verstappen is
100%.
He's got a head start,
yeah, he needs more experience. That was his first
time. I think you guys are conflating speed with championship worthiness, because nobody here is doubting that Charles Leclerc has pace for any one of those buds on the grid. But as far as, because we're talking about, you know, Chez, don't do this naive thing again. You know that to win a championship, to win a championship, love you, bro. To win a championship takes more than just speed. If you're doing like,
he was too crash happy.
He's too crash happy. He's too naive as far as his strategy is concerned. And ultimately, if you're talking about, if you're going to go head to head with a Lewis, or go head to head with a Max Verstappen, or go head to head with a Fernando Alonso, those, the last two things that I mentioned, you're going to need those. And I'm arguing that Charles, as at September of 2023, doesn't have enough of those things in his locker.
And as of today.
He's not there yet, bro.
But like in 2 years.
Not there yet. That's why I can't put him on that unfulfilled potential.
Come back.
I would argue that it's not... The reason he is where he is not because of him, it's because of his team. Max and Lewis never had to worry about their team messing it up for them.
They never had to fight their team as much as Charles.
Yes, you have to fight the guy in the other car, in the other team, apart from sort of the Lewis Rosberg season, but their car was so far ahead, they didn't have to worry about anyone else. But you know, Lewis, when he was fighting Max, didn't have to worry about Valtteri, didn't have to worry about the team messing up pit stops and strategy, and they're not going to give me a good car, they're going to give me a crap engine. All of that is a given, so you can concentrate fully on the on winning races.
So you're saying give
And if you look at the first three races of 2022,
oh yeah, he was a beast.
Leclerc was all over it. When he didn't have to worry about the team messing it up, he was the man.
Yeah,
he was a beast.
And he does need to scrub the mistakes out.
But I think
he was a beast until Verstappen clocked his game a little bit.
Right.
You know?
So the question is,
the Red Bull became a lot quicker.
Why are these incidents happening? Is it because he's over pushing?
Yeah.
That's
because, you know, Max went, remember crashed up in days, right? Oh, when he first jumped in the Red Bull. Over pushing. If you know that you need to be driving to have, he got double pole at Baku, remember, right?
Gangster.
Because he was on the limit, right? And we saw that on his lap, right? He was absolutely, he had to be on the limit. There's no margin. We talk about Max now, right? He's got this great car, he can afford to take it down a little bit and just be sensible, not go for that lap one crazy overtake on Science, take his time and get past. When you're in Charles' situation, when you're in Max's situation, when he was in Red Bull earlier in his crashed up in days,
and
leads to more incidents.
And the difference between Charles and Carlos is that Carlos is happy, he's comfortable with the way the car is at the moment. He's happy to drive it within the limits of the car because he recognizes that it's not just him that's put them in that position. Whereas I feel like Charles gets in his own head sometimes and feels like it's his responsibility to drag the team forward.
And so what's that, Chez?
Yeah, but the team...
how do you characterise that?
Propagate that. Yeah, but the team then propagate that as well.
And also, this isn't anything. This is Ferrari.
Oh, yeah, they then tell him and have that, you know, Matteo putting his arm around him after Silverstone going, oh, mate, you know what, actually,
I was
it is you.
Out of order. But as a driver, all right, look, okay, so you put some of the accountability and the liability on the shoulders of Scuderia Ferrari.
I do.
Absolutely. But equally, bruv, Charles can't absolve himself from responsibility completely. Hence why I say, if you're talking about championship worthiness in the broader context of unfulfilled potential, I'm not putting Charles just there yet, because I see he's got too many deficiencies in his game as that September.
I think better men than Charles Leclerc have struggled within that team. You know, Fernando, I think, is pretty much the only driver in the last 20 years that has managed to bring something out of Ferrari.
Yeah.
Vettel dropped it.
Yeah, I see your point.
Leclerc's now doing the same thing as well. You put Leclerc in a team that, you know, coddles him and like makes him feel special, and
maybe
also is reliable as well.
That's why
there are so many instances of drivers who have proven to be fantastic in certain machinery, or even within the same team. You look at Vettel 2013 to 2014, right?
Yeah,
sorry,
polar change in performance there. True. You look at Ricciardo, Renault to McLaren.
Yeah, I get
complete
it.
Like, he was one of the most on-form drivers at the end of 2020, coming out of that Renault stint. Two podium back-to-back podiums in that Renault. I did a fantastic job. Goes to McLaren. And
yeah, it doesn't work out.
For me, that's the beauty of F1, and that I mean, total tangent here, but that's why what Max is doing right now is unreal, because it is the perfect marriage of man and machine.
Yeah, I smashed it. I don't know. I love Charles Leclerc, but I don't want to give him. He's not there yet, chaps.
Yeah,
Let's not jump the gun on him being a championship contender.
To be honest, I do hear that.
He's not there, bro.
But it's genuinely marginal. Like, it's genuine. In my eyes, it's genuinely
marginal. But, Niren, is it marginal? Okay, so
all he has to do is get less mistake happy in my eyes. And I think that comes with experience.
Niren, you know what it is? The problem for me that makes me think he's further away from being championship worthy than a lot of people think. Not the mistake, or the frequency of mistakes, the type of bloody mistakes that he's making, right?
Yeah.
That one at Imola, what are you doing?
Yeah, Imola, that made no sense.
What are you doing? It's like,
and
brain fade.
Well, realistically, but that's
like, oh my gosh, yeah, but that's kind of overdriving a motor car. But he makes these mistakes that you just like, what are you doing?
I just feel like today, think today was, it felt to me like the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, he's in this situation where he's, yeah, it feels like he's talking about science's rear tires. Yeah. Right, Max was talking about science and realized first that one coming off, and Leclerc's talking about it, and he's like, "Fuck, this is my shot at a podium."
Yeah.
And he's actively gone against the team. Like, everyone's hearing those team radios. He's actively gone. I haven't heard. I was trying to look before this podcast for some Charles quotes. Yeah. I haven't seen any yet.
What do you reckon Carlos thinks about all of that,
mate? Oh. Chaos. He's got to be pissed.
I'd be like, fair fucks, man. We're in this together. Like, you know, whatever. But like,
they can't turn against each other, because I think they're fighting up against the team.
Yeah, yeah.
They also couldn't have swapped them around in the race. Can you imagine if you had swapped them around in the race, and then Carlos loses the podium because Charles finishes just in front of him?
But Charles went into the race day cheesed off, right?
Yeah.
Because he said toe. Where was the bloody toe?
Yeah.
Let's sort out the toes in quality. And Ferrari have a history of attempting toes and fudging them up, right?
By the way.
Which is chaos. But try it right. Try it, perfect it, execute it properly, and you get a tenfold two. Charles was cheesed off going into the race because of that. And then, again, he ends up in this position where it feels like his teammates holding him up. So I don't blame him, man. And Tomo, we were screaming for racing all race.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Look, I think that gap between teammates, I think Leclerc's got the edge on science, but it's close enough that it doesn't become, like, I think they've got the perfect balance of like talent-wise in those two seats. But you've got then Ferrari on top, who are ultimately going to mismanage it and frustrate a driver where Charles feels like he just needs to go be like completely selfish and not play the team game and flagrantly disregard what the team is saying. Like, that's a statement.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't happen very often.
No. That's come off the back of him, you know, in Zandvoort just coming into the pit lane.
Oh my God.
This is the Charles I wanted to see.
And this is what Carlos used to do, and we gave him credit for it. Yeah. And now
that's
I'm going to give Charles credit for taking it.
They weren't ready. And that's again, when it comes down to, like, there's only like so much he can do when they are institutionally incompetent. If he's coming into the pit lane going, I am taking this by the scruff of the neck, I'm coming in now, I'm making the decision, I know it's the right one, and then he gets there, they don't have any tires for him, that he's hit the ceiling of what he can do in that situation.
I don't hate it, bruv. Scuderia, Ferrari have got a
they're a limiting factor,
but also they weren't the only teammates to potentially trip over each other today.
Briefly
talk, not so, because I don't think there was much in it between Piastri and Norris.
Just had cold tyres, but yeah.
But Piastri, I think for Piastri to be as close to Norris as he's been, I think for McLaren to pit Norris before Piastri to kind of give him the undercut, really.
On the Checo Perez.
Yeah.
Like,
I'd be annoyed if I was Oscar. Not gone.
Yeah. I'd be annoyed if I was Oscar. But at the same time, I think from Zach Brown's point of view, like, I think Piastri is doing everything that was top end expectation, and more.
Yeah, I think so. I have to say, not necessarily what I was expecting. I totally expected him to be like this, with a pedigree like he's had in the junior careers. And I think we said at the beginning of the season that that was the teammate war I was most looking forward to.
Oscar and Lando.
Because, you know, the quick experience guy and the Lewis-y rookie.
This is true. Now, I don't hate it, bruv. I'd characterise their incident ever so slightly. I know why Oscar would be cheesed off at the cheeky undercut, but the incident, bruv. The one golden rule, you don't contract with your teammate.
And Oscar needs to be a bit like he's definitely culpable for it.
Don't do that there.
I get it. You know, he's annoyed. His teammates undercut him, even though he was ahead.
But don't let that happen.
And the gap's there, and it's like I can't car in that.
But again, Niren, that type of mistake is like that's the type of mistake I would make on F123.
Facts.
Trying to do a cheeky one at the start, right? And
you got to remember, he's a child.
Clumsy.
He's a child. He's won three titles back to back.
I feel like he doesn't
know what he's doing.
It was a bit of a naive move, but I think it stemmed from a place of being like,
because it could have ended a lot worse.
It could have easily. He's very lucky, to be honest. There was no damage for either car.
So Zach will have words.
Just drifted
Zach
out.
Will have words there, and quite right. Don't do that. You've been nailing it, bruv. You've been immaculate, pretty much perfect all season. Don't do that.
Oscar's quite fun though, because he doesn't say much in public, right?
That
Silverstone podium where he felt like he should have got one, and there's a whole Zach Brown going, look at my two guys and Lando.
It's quite chill. I like Oscar.
But then he'll do something like that on track when he thinks that, you know what?
You have to separate the driver outside to the driver inside. Yeah, it's like Ricardo bubbling, smiley, happy. Put the helmet on, is the honey badger.
Killer.
And he didn't get to where he is without, you know.
Thank you. And that's what you want. That's what I want to see in a driver.
Yeah.
That's what I saw from Charles Leclerc.
No, I don't hate it.
I think ultimately it is kind of, you know, I feel like it does vindicate McLaren's decision. I don't think Ricciardo was ever going to make it good in that McLaren car. It just wasn't the right fit for him.
He's already vindicated that decision. Five or six.
And it's paid, what, the $18 million to pay off Ricciardo, and however much Piastri's getting paid, which probably isn't a crazy amount. I mean, Alana's going to be on a lot more, I'm sure. Like, in terms of the change in constructors, they're comfortably P5. I don't think they're going to finish any higher than that. I think,
if Aston can keep shit in the bed.
True.
I think Alonso's
got enough points.
Alonso will be all right, I think, in the tire stuff. Like Qatar, he'll be fine. I think Suzuki will probably be all right.
The last two, three races, but I mean, they probably should have done better at Sandbox, shouldn't they? Especially with an update.
Well, Stroll was just rocking around in the back.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a difficult race to really measure, though, isn't it? Because it's so, like, obviously
changeable.
All over the gaff, wasn't it?
I think McLaren can be happy that, you know, they've got, like, in terms of potential, and we know how highly Red Bull speak of Norris, and now Piastri's like proving that he is like that. Those F2, that F2 championship, the F3 championship, the Formula Renault championship, they're not like, that's genuine.
He's not to be messed about.
I think it leaves McLaren in a very strong position that, you know, all this talk around, will Norris leave? Will he? I could only see him leaving to Red Bull if he was to leave. But if he did, they know they've got Piastri there.
And if they build the car to win races, they've got two drivers that are...
It absolutely weakens Lando's position within that team, though, right? That he doesn't have the same negotiating power.
I think it does, yeah.
You know, Oh, you want to leave? Do you want to go? Do you want to go to Audi? Go to Audi. See you later.
I think the gap between Norris and Piastri. I think that is about the gap for me right now between Leclerc, Sainz. The difference is Piastri. This is his rookie season,
and he's already
going to get. I'm not going to get close.
My argument there, right, is that you know, come the end of next season, and Piastri is doing this, they're going to say, Lando, I don't think we're offering you quite as much for your next contract.
I'm not having
that. If you keep that lineup together, you're living.
That's blasphemous. Put some respect on Lando Norris's Dave. No, because you know what
he's saying. He's not guaranteed number one driver if his carries.
It's nothing against Lando. It's because Oscar's doing such a good job.
Yeah.
But you still know that. Like Lando Norris is the label that pays, right? As far as like your generational talent that's potentially going to take you forward. Okay, so you have a scenario Oscar, but Lando is that guy.
But I think Oscar's potentially a generational talent.
Oscar's junior career is better than Lando's.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
Yeah.
Quite a bit better.
Lando had some techie drivers to race against.
That's true.
Agreed. He did go down against Albon and Russell in the F2 season that he didn't win.
10 years old or whatever.
Yeah, it's still a junior career.
You got to look relative, haven't you? Young.
So I agree. He had a good junior career. It's not Oscar's junior career.
Absolutely. I think Oscar had a Leclerc-esque, Russell-esque.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just think, chaps, put some respect. Oscar's brilliant. They get it twisted. But Lando.
Lando is crazy. Lando is gold. But also, Lando, he's like, you know, in terms of years, it's like 3-4 years behind, like relative in progression. Yeah. So again, it gives.
Yeah, you've got to count.
Yeah, it's like if Verstappen today was just like, right, I've got the 10, I've won the championship, I'm just going to sack it off now. I'm going to go and race like Le Mans, right? That leaves Red Bull with a big problem they can't rely on Checo. So they have to get someone who's going to try and get close to Max, because they can't rely on Checo.
And to extrapolate that out, Tomo, in that situation, you get Lando. If you're Red Bull and you use Max, you're not getting Oscar. Oscar's sick. Oscar will be a championship winner at some point.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you get Lando. I think Red Bull more than most
value the additional pull that Lando brings in, being such a popular driver and all that. And that's what Helmut said, like he's a Red Bull driver.
Yeah,
like
but that's not mobility, is it? That's the thing that McLaren has.
That's our factors as
well. I would discount the X factors. And if I'm saying if he's still taking drivers, still at this point, that's a no-brainer for me. Yeah. You've got a choice between, you're looking to replace Max Verstappen.
A plug and play right now, Lando, yeah.
Lando, just driver, not the marketing stuff. If you're looking to go now, Lando Norris over Oscar.
I think that's a marginal call to out qualify Lando Norris in Monza.
But look, don't do the recency bias thing, Shez. Up till now, Lando's been bossing Oscar Piastri. He's young and he's growing and he's maturing and there's lots of potential there. But as at now in real time, Lando Norris over the course of the season. That's why we reacted so like to the quali situation, it was flip reverse.
You know what?
Lando, for the most part, has been bossing him to the tune of a tenth or two.
For sure.
Every single quali
situation. It's close.
If you're Red Bull, you want the finished article.
Yes, exactly.
And Lando is closer to that as like an all round.
I completely agree, right? Right. Let's draw a ceiling.
And will be amazing.
Let's draw a ceiling, right? Verstappen is the closest to that ceiling right now. We can all agree. He's the closest to that ceiling.
He's on the other side of it. He cracked through.
Lando is up there, right? Oscar's behind him. I think obviously Lando's that little bit older, he's had that bit more experience with F1. His rate of growth is like he's still got room to grow for sure. He's going to get closer to that ceiling. Mm. Oscar is younger. So I think Oscar's potential is at least as high as Lando's. He's not there yet, but given everything we've seen, his potential, like the way the primer engineers talk about Piastri in the same line as Leclerc. We rate Leclerc.
I think so.
I agree that Red Bull today, that they, like, it's going to, at the end of the day, Piastri's not there yet. He might just not get any better. But who knows, right? Some drivers peak really early and then stop. Some drivers peak later. Lando, we know his quality.
That's the point. But Shez, I think what you're saying, and Lewis, clip this up, by the way, you're saying that Oscar Piastri's ceiling is potentially higher than Lando.
It potentially is.
Should I say that into the mic? Yes.
Potentially, yes.
Madness.
Potentially, absolutely.
The craziness of this is that I don't even think that's controversial.
No, that's not controversial.
What's controversial about that?
You love
potentially it is. Of course, look at his junior career.
Nah, I disagree.
Look at him in his rookie season. He's averaging about a tenth and a half of Lando in his rookie season.
Yeah, and how qualified
in a weird McLaren that Ricardo can drive.
He's he's a dangerous guy.
There's some quality there. Like proper.
That piece I wouldn't disagree with, Chez, but I think we're.
But again, potential is a dangerous word because a lot of people have potential.
Potential is like, I think we should quantify that. Potential is not like what someone's guaranteed
to
reach.
But potential in F1 is based on so many different things. And it's not just about how good you are in the car, right? Yes, he might lose his head and hit the drink and drugs in the next season or two. I doubt it.
I hope not.
Or McLaren build an absolute dud and he suffers because of that. And that's where potential gets squandered, I think, in F1.
That one is blasphemy all over the shop. I think Lando, I've always thought Lando could be the next one.
I genuinely think they can both be the next one.
They're both, their ceiling, both of them is exceptional.
If in like 3 years, right? We've still got Verstappen but it's still Checo as the driver's lineup. Obviously, this wouldn't happen, but that's the driver lineup. And McLaren, Lando and Piastri, and the cars were like relatively even. McLaren absolutely slapped them in the Constructors' Championship.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely slapped them in the Constructors' Championship. Because I think Piastri and Lando, Verstappen is out of this world, generational to the level we might not actually see someone like him in the next 10 years, 20 years, whatever. But Lando and Piastri are like the closest we're going to get to that. I genuinely think that.
Yeah, that's it.
Even over Leclerc.
Yeah.
In like 3-4 years.
Yeah, maybe. But I think there's symbiosis again there with Max and his car, and I think that's
true.
But isn't it true? Like, we've got all these drivers, all these like young guns coming through as well.
It's great.
Verstappen, we've not even mentioned Russell, and I think given his 7-7 against Lewis in qualifying this year, and I think like another good race for him today. His defense was pretty good when he needed to be. Like, I think Russell, Norris, Piastri,
young guns. We've got
Argent.
Well,
but in all seriousness, Albon, if he gets his bum in a better car.
Oh gosh, Red Bull.
Next generation, Kimi Antonelli, Ollie Bearman.
Another driver that's going to be ruined by Ferrari.
Porsche, if he gets the shot as well. Again, potential. It's a dangerous word, but it's the right word to use for someone like Piastri because he's not finished up. He's had 15 F1 races in his entire career.
But and that's why as a nutty accountant, I like to deal in. So if I'm trying to replace Max Verstappen as Red Bull, I want the tangibles. I'm looking to deal with this X Factor fairy dust potential.
I agree.
I put Lando Norris in that car for me each and every single time.
Red Bull do have a habit of sticking like 15-year-olds in their car, don't they?
He's not wrong. Liam Lawson. Step
Race,
Liam, by the way.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, we didn't do Liam Watch during this.
Liam Watch. Spot,
but very good from him.
Great drive.
No points there, right?
No, but he actually would have done it if he'd made the one stop work because of Piastri's problem.
Helmut's going to be paying attention for sure. That's a tricky one. Quick, actually, before we wrap the pod, AlphaTauri seats next year. Who's in them?
Fuck it.
We should like. I think every podcast we just do a run.
It will change
because it will probably change.
Iwas has lost.
Still don't. Yeah, he had a good race today. He got P15 to P2.
Yeah, fair enough.
Come on, Umu. But yeah,
I might have to bang him in Super Formula.
I think so.
Warms him.
Do we think Yuki's probably a shoe-in for next season? Probably.
He's not done enough to lose his seat. He might have done enough to get snapped up by someone else, but I don't know who would snap him up. Yeah. And there's no seats available.
There's not really.
So you think he stays?
You think he goes?
No, I think he stays.
Yeah, me too.
But we have.
If I was Williams, I'd think about something.
But I swear.
I'm not going to lie. If I was Williams, I'd think about
something. I feel like I'm jacking Tomo F1's thought process and saying.
Go on.
Honda, Aston,
Yuki.
Yeah, but Stroll's not going to get dropped.
Yeah, but Stroll is,
even though he should.
I think Yuki's going to start taking him. Is going to start playing tennis against him and see what happens.
We've actually got to get Stroll out. We've got to make a go.
I can't keep making excuses.
He can't keep getting away with this.
Right, coming AlphaTauri lineup next year. Two drivers.
Okay, you know what? I'm sticking, man. Yuki and Danny Rick.
And what's happening to Lawson then?
Fuck.
See, I got you there.
Yeah. I don't know.
I got you there.
Go on, just run three cars.
I think Yuki and Ricardo, and I think Liam will get 2 or 3 seasons. Helmut will go disguise rubbish and send him packing, because that's what they normally do to their drivers.
This is depressing.
I'm going Yuki and Liam Lawson. Don't think Daniel Ricciardo wants to be in that AlphaTauri next season, realistically.
What happens to Danny Rick near?
No, if he gets the Red Bull seat, he gets the Red Bull seat. If not, he's out.
Out of F1?
Yeah, I don't think he wants to be in that AlphaTauri for a full
season.
He's here because he wants a Red Bull seat.
Excuse me.
Yeah, Pacheco's going to be in that seat next season, isn't he?
Who do you listen to? Helmut Marko, Christian Horner?
Oh my god.
To be honest, I think Checo will still be in that Red Bull next season. So I think Daniel Ricciardo will just be left without a seat for a little bit again. But if I'm Danny Rick, unless they profusely say, look, listen, Daniel, if you drive this shit box for a year, we'll give you the Red Bull seat after. He ain't staying, bro. He's not. He doesn't want to be there.
Right.
He declined Haas and Williams in his year out. Why would he want to be in the worst car on the grid?
But I can't. Oh, it's decky.
Because there's still a route back there, right?
Well, AlphaTauri is his best route back to a top 10.
Yeah. I mean. Like, unless that guarantee is there, I don't see him wanting to stay.
But there isn't a guarantee anywhere. Unless you're saying that he heads off and decides to, I don't know, what does Danny Rick do in his spare time?
TikTok. Oh, he does loads. He does that.
You boys. Slack. TikTok.
All right, so for me, right, if it wasn't for this injury, because this injury has certainly
fucked
things up a bit, right?
Literally, but.
Because it gives Lawson an opportunity to showcase himself as well as taking races away from Daniel. For me, without the injury, Daniel getting, how many would it have been? Like 11 races?
Yeah.
If Red Bull can't learn enough to know whether he's better than Checo in 11 races, for a driver who's 33 years of age, who used to be at the team, and they know everything they really need to know about his style and all that, then if they're not going to give him the Red Bull seat in 2024, you just get shot. There's no point keeping him. So I kind of agree with you. He's either in the Red Bull next year, or he's...
But Checo's contract...
hard with the injury.
Checo's contract is like...
What does that mean?
Ironclad.
We don't do
ironclad. His one is different,
ironclad,
isn't it?
JPEG that can get deleted.
His one is
recycle bin empty.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying that Red Bull. Red Bull are cutthroat, yeah.
Yes,
but Checo's contract is different. We know that RBR normally have their.
He's contracted to Red Bull. They could just put him in an AlphaTauri if they want.
Negative, not with Checo.
Yeah,
his contract is different. He had it written in there specifically that they can't just ship him. He's in a Red Bull racing.
I think
that's a first, isn't it? Because no one else is like that.
Maybe Max, I don't know. Well, Max will never come.
That's out of scope.
Max, you're not doing well enough. You're out.
I've just realised what it is.
What?
Jaime Alguersuari.
Oh my
God. He can DJ as well. He can do the after drinks.
Lando thinks he can DJ a bit, like hanging out with all these DJs.
Martin Garrix,
Jaime Alguersuari.
Jaime Alguersuari.
I'd be worried he just want to spin it, though. That's the problem.
And on that note, we will end the podcast.
I love that.
Shez Cam, thank you very much for joining us. Again, let everyone know where they can find you. Shez, first of all.
At ShezMed on Twitter.
And I am CameronF1YT on Twitter and CameronF1 on YouTube.
Check him out. Quality little mini doc videos. Love them, Cam. Niren, where can the people find us?
Well, people can find us on audio only platforms. If you're listening in, give us a 5-star rating. If you are watching on YouTube, like and subscribe. You guys know the drill by now. Let us know in the comment section. Just let us know in the comments.
Be found on the back of a Walker's Sensations packet.
Yeah, only on the back, but inside the inside back part.
That is not true.
Cam's face is like,
"What?" You've got the deal.
Yeah,
crazy. We wish one day. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll be back for no race this weekend, and then Singapore Grand Prix.
Yes,
indeed, coming up. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next Tuesday. Goodbye.